And now, after this go, unless the market comes back ridiculously unacceptable demands, we settle. The South's going to have to go to home. They can make it home. We don't get the Congress to go their age.
If they go along, I don't think the Congress will.
If they go along, assembly. That's a hell of a hit, isn't it?
But I think that's something he understands.
Based on Hague's last experience of my letter.
I keep being optimistic.
What's that?
I keep being optimistic, I guess.
Yes, sir. You keep thinking, I know everybody does, that you just can't commit suicide. Is that it?
Both for himself and for his country.
And he was a congressman, not cool. But this time we've got to put it to him in a different way. We're not going to go begging for Henry to go through those torturous sessions of all day long debating for the North Vietnamese and talking South Vietnamese at night and having them talking, you've got to go back and get this and that. That was incredibly bad.
The
can't hear that again.
South Vietnamese simply weren't helpful. Should have no complaint here. We've gone down the whole road with him. We know exactly all the things he's asked for.
Right.
We've done our best to achieve those at considerable cost in the process. And he surely understands that.
Considerable cost, great cost. Great flyers. I guess most of them parachute out, seriously.
Most of them, yes, sir.
Why is that? Is the 52s don't explode or anything?
Well, one today did. Got a direct hit with a SAM, one of the two that we lost, which was near Hanoi. On the way into his bombing run, he just went up and smoked. But most of the time, they get bad battle damage, and
field damage.
And they're out.
They won't be.
It's a big enough airplane. I'm not an airplane driver, but it's a big enough airplane. I think that when it gets a hit, unless it's a hit of the kind we had today, or a direct hit that just blows the thing, probably bombs and all, it can fly stable long enough for them to get out, and they can tell very quickly whether they're going to be able to control the airplane and fly it back, or have to abandon it. So I think that's what happens. The other airplane flew back, actually the second one, it flew back all the way to Utapau, made one pass on the field and couldn't land. Something was wrong. It made a second pass and didn't make it all the way around and crashed. So it just about made it.
The survivors didn't get out of them.
Two. The other four were killed.
Trying to land.
Sir?
Trying to land.
Yes, yes. But we've had, I don't recall exactly the number, but it's about 10, I guess, which have suffered significant battle damage, but made it back and landed safely with all the crew.
What do they do? Those are out of commission.
Oh, yes, sir. They can try to patch them back up again in time, but it takes a while, depending on the kind of damage.
Well, we've got 400 standing around the world. We just fill in with that.
Yes, sir.
Now that's understood, isn't it?
Yes. So they're keeping the level up.
Keep the level up, we have to. It's going to be long. What is your reaction to what the part of the... How will they react to getting whacked again?
How will they react to Paris? I think they understand full well that that's exactly what we intend. Mm-hmm. I think nothing will come as a surprise. We get lots of rhetoric.
Right.
And I think they'll they'll just stick with all that, suffer through it, and hurl back invective at us, but still come ahead and talk. And I expect that. I would think that the first thing we're going to have to hear in any negotiating session, be it experts or the principals, will be a couple of hours disquisition on our heinous conduct. That's just inevitable. But I think it probably...
Henry, that you should not allow this, I'm not hearing anything. You're just settled. Get the goddamn thing over with.
I think they... my own view is that it certainly has helped them make up their mind if they had not made it up already.
I think so.
I think it's helped them make up their mind.
But if that's the purpose,
and I think
you believe that?
Yes, sir, I think so. I'm only surprised that it's come so quickly.
You mean that they responded so quickly?
Yes. I would have thought that they might have come back and said, we simply cannot even discuss
this
reconvening so long as you are continuing this sort of attack on us. Let's discuss how we tone down this level of attack on us, and then we'll talk about when we come back to the table and what we can discuss.
I suppose they can do that now. That could be another reaction, I'm just saying.
I would doubt it, sir, but simply on the ground that if we do go back...
No, what I meant is, based on the attacks that they got after they sent their message to
Nigeria, no, they, of course, they've been told in the messages what we would intend to do. That is, a very short time before actually reconvening, we would stop. We would not stop in the meantime. That was understood. So I think they knew what we were about, all right, what we intended.
Yeah.
I would think now that they would come back. They will have learned, perhaps, the lesson that just playing with us will get them nowhere except hard times, that they have to be serious. And a break-off will give just that much added support for the kind of attack that we launched. If we have to do it again, it will not be a pleasant thing at all. I'm sure it'll be a terribly difficult one. On the other hand, I would think that the record of two intransigent moves on their part would make it even, well, a little bit easier to go back and do some more of it, and I'm sure they must calculate it that way themselves.
Well, we haven't particularly made that case here yet.
It's a little hard.
A lot of people do not understand
why
they would go back bombing. You know, because we didn't make a big thing of it. We just did, which I think was the right thing to do. But because if we had made a big thing of it, it would have created a hell of a debate at this point. Everybody had debated, but that might have given an argument to be more encouraging than just having rumblings of discontent. But they only shot out 200 anti-border people on Christmas Day. What I mean is there's a lot of discontent and people just, it isn't so much discontent. People don't mind bombing, strangely enough. It's ground warfare, I think it's on television, it kills them. But it's a disappointment.
Yes.
People think because their expectations, if they were built up, that's why the Lake Ocean thing,
Hanoi to urging, you know, deliver us pictures, give us material. Not exactly my idea of what journalism was all about.
CBS?
Both CBS and NBC.
We're going to Hanoi.
They were wiring their people in Hanoi to get the stringers of correspondence that they had, get them material, you know, particularly focused on bomb damage and so on. And I thought to myself that I always believed that journalism was an institution in which you editorialize after you've written a straight news story. Here you write the editorial first in the guise of a news story. You decide what your news story is going to say and then go out and get the news to fit it. Pretty fun of this. I can't imagine.
They're having trouble getting stuff out of Hanoi from Omar.
Yes.
I think it's an experiment. They're anxious to go up there and get it right now.
There's very little coming out. Right. I would guess that some of the pictures, even maybe old material that they're pulling out of the file.
The networks usually.
I haven't seen anything on the networks, but there have been a few pictures in the paper, but the stuff I think is old. It's not.
Sure you prove that. You should watch for that, I suppose, aren't people coming? You know?
Right.
I'm not in the NSC, but some of there are in USA and they can study these things and find they have. We caught the Washington Post in one of those, you know, in the campaign. They used the picture, it was 2 years old.
Yes.
Well, they followed that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's
the right editorial first.
Right. You're right.
And then they find me a picture to prove my point.
You're right.
Rather than waiting for the news.
You write the story before you get the news, and then get the news.
You're supposed to write the story, or the story and her editorial about the fact.
Yep.
Here they write the story or editorial and then get the facts.
Exactly.
To back it up, which is all about the end thing.
Well, it's journalism of a very different stripe than I think most people believe newspapers are doing. I think most people believe they're being given the news.
Unfortunately.
And
some doubts. People have some doubts. Well, okay. 60 today. What are the plans on for the rest of the week today?
I think it'll be about the same.
60. This is the 27th, right?
Right, yes. It'll be running between 30 and 60 in the north, and a total of 70 to 90, including those, across the area. They'll be trying to keep it up at about a level of 90 a day total. And then it'll vary.
The need for hitting, just going back to the same area of the north, is not. Just so that they know that the potential is there and just keep them worried is the main thing.
They're going back.
The big whack was the important thing. I mean, even that was a hell of a calling card yesterday.
Yes, sir.
That was a hell of a calling card. That had to be big. Now you go back, they must not knock off today. They can go in with 30 or 60 a day and worry the hell out of them.
They're working on targets seriously as they get any kind of bomb damage assessment, recognition that the target still is functional, they're just going back and working on the target again, with the objective of not only the psychological effect,
but the
military effect, and for the strategic effect of getting the thing out, which has additional psychological advantage.
Of course, I understand the whole purpose. Unless it's based on solid strategic damage, military damage. The psychology is not lasting.
Just boring holes in the ground.
Right. It doesn't last. It'll shake them a bit when they come back. But if you get strategic damage, that can break the strongest of people. Broke the Germans, broke the Japanese.
We've also, as I indicated to you a couple of weeks ago, now we've turned up the volume again on the psychological warfare.
Yeah, good.
with the radios and the
black, right.
Black and gray, the regular radios. And we've cranked up the leafleting campaign again. We'll be charged with damaging the ecology, covering the place with leaflets. There'll be so much trash to pick up.
What do the leaflets say?
Well, they play a variety of themes.
Yeah.
Unfortunate that you had to break off the talks. The boys can't get home. Why don't you go see your cadre and find out when the talks are going to resume so the war can end and your friends who are down south can come back to be with you. The government has misled you. Peace was coming. They don't want peace. They look only for victory, which is impossible. This is the sort of theme. Pretty simple, straightforward messages aimed at getting the people to begin to ask questions of the cadre, which begins to unnerve the cadre. And up the line, it causes problems. This meshes together then with the radio campaigns, which are doing the same thing, pointing out that everybody wants peace. All you have to do is move forward to get it. No problem about peace. Everybody wants it except you. Why don't you want it? This is sort of approach.
Who meets with you?
Sir?
Who meets with you downstairs in your meetings now? Who represents the CIA? In the West End?
Oh, Helms.
Is he here today?
Well, no, he's gone now. He's gone now.
Where is he?
He's out of the country on a vacation, I think, for a few days. General Waters, of course, comes. He's not here. Alex Johnson. I assume probably Ambassador Porter will move in and place Johnson. I don't know who it'll be. Defense could they get themselves.
Probably be Clements, since he's
Mr. Clements.
Appointed. I can confirm. Combat Works. And Rush, did Rush come?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Rush. Rush represents.
He's
defense.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
We've not had a meeting of that.
Rush will still, he'll still be coming because he'll have the same position in the state, so.
That body has worked pretty effectively through most of it.
Yes. Free with, excuse me. We're doing Nicaragua everything we can.
Yes, sir. We've, they had trouble, they were going to try to take an engineer company down overland. They had difficulty, so they just went to work in a airlifted. It should be all there just about now. They airlifted it in, a whole company with equipment for firefighting, movement of debris, and the aid problem is intense so far as we can tell. Simply because there's so little water, almost none. And most of that, I guess, is now because of all the water purification outfits that we took down. We took several big water purification plants down there, engineer groups, with water trucks, distribution systems. Firefighting is apparently an extremely hazardous and difficult job. There's no water. The people are beginning to move out, but they don't want to. Even some of the ones that went out are coming back now, trying to salvage bits and pieces of their belongings. Understandable, of course. The big question remains whether there will be epidemic, and that's, of course, what they're trying to prevent. We have two field hospitals in full operation now. I don't know how many total beds are actually operating, but the two hospitals are set up and functioning with a full medical complement with them, and additional medical supplies are on the way. As you know, on Sunday we had ships that were going into Guatemala, I think it was, with wheat flour and the rolled oats under a regular program. So we converted those and sent them up there so that there are several thousand tons of food supplies that arrive almost instantly. Well, it'll be a pretty tough operation. I imagine actually it'll get worse in terms of coping with problems, because the problems themselves will emerge, become more clear over the next few days. After the shock is over and the initial problem goes away, then it's getting down, dealing with the enormous number of refugees, preventing the outbreak of epidemic. But I think the medical people have that pretty much.
Yes.
If each day it goes up and down, it's varied from 1,000 to 5,000. It doesn't seem to be much
higher.
Not
the magnitude of Peru then?
No, sir.
Peru is 50,000.
That's right. That's the number of villages.
But not our homes, is perhaps.
Almost the entire city.
400,000.
Yes. The city is about apparently 70% destroyed. Be all but unlivable for a very long time. Somoza said something in a little clip I saw. He's going to build it someplace else if the earthquake scientist told him that.
There's a fault.
This is apparently the third time the city's been almost totally destroyed by earthquake. I would guess that would tell somebody something. Have to do a completely different kind of building or move it. But I think our people are really on top of this one and going all out and have the word to do whatever is necessary and whatever can be done.
We all do.
One thing we were having a little argument about in the House, the Title II programs under PL 480, which provide for distribution of food through the voluntary agencies, the Church World Services, Family Relief, and some of the World Health Organization. For those who wanted to cut this out, a couple of $100 million worth of that stuff available every year. Yes, sir.
If we didn't do it that way, we have to appropriate it some other way.
Exactly. And someone was saying, but they're badly managed programs. Well, there are two ways to solve bad management. If the program is no good on its own merits, then you do away with it. That solves the problem. But if the program has merit itself, then you get new management.
There is a lot of mismanagement and waste whenever there's a disaster. But a disaster is inevitably breeds mismanagement. That's what it really gets down to.
These
cannot handle it the other way.
These voluntary agencies are all already geared up on the Nicaraguan thing, of course, the Red Cross, the church groups. And they can do a great deal of good work. A lot of collecting of resources, which otherwise would have to come from the government. And to be able to supplement their efforts then with some government food, for example, gets the job done a lot better than we could do it ourselves, quicker.
You know, that's really quite something here. Sending out these finest pictures that we didn't use showing that
I saw these things the other day, and I just looked at it, and I said, you know, that's the most vicious kind of journalism I ever heard, because it is exactly the opposite of what I thought journalism was supposed to be. You write a story, give straight news, and report it fairly and accurately. And if you want to editorialize, fine.
Absolutely.
But only after you've written the straight story and given people the facts, so that the people have to decide whether your editorial is right or wrong. This is the other way around. One writes the editorial and goes out and writes a news story, which in fact is editorial, before he gets the facts. And then he gets the facts to support his story, which is editorializing in the guise of news reporting. But it's...
Yes, we've had this problem. This war from the beginning. Yes, sir. Well, there'll be nothing predicted today. There's a report, I guess, except the 60 planes. We'll lose, I trust, not too many.
They'll be, as I indicated, they'll be going about an hour from now.
Two hours from now.
11:03, and they'll all go at the same time again.
I think that's a better program.
Yes, sir. They run them in two or three different directions at the same time.